We have no place here, no place can ever please us, where thou, O Lord, art not, in thee and with thee ever, is found by grace our Lord. And then I thought on these verses we read together, where the Lord speaks over the heavenly blessings we receive. And it is very special that we find that in this gospel. Then that gospel does not speak on heaven, but speaks on this earth. We find but a very few times the word heaven here in this gospel. It speaks always on this earth and over the things on this earth. But it speaks on him who was on this earth, but who is heaven himself, who is the center of heaven and of all the blessings who are in heaven. We, in the first chapter, we find that the Lord came down of this earth. The Word became flesh. The Word who was God and who was with God, he became flesh and he dwelt in our midst. And we have seen, contemplated his glory, the glory as of an only begotten of a son of the Father. We find that as John writes. There we see also the glory of the only begotten Son of God, but seen here on this earth, and seen as he was man, God revealed in flesh. And that is the great truth here from the Gospel of John. We see God and the glory of God, but we see them here on this earth and adapted on our condition and on the capacities we as creatures have. In the last verses from chapter 2 and the first verses from chapter 3, we have the condition of man on this earth. And not man as we see many times as we think on sinners, men who are godless and are great enemies, also revealed themselves as enemies of God, but men who are in the most favored position. We find in chapter 2, verse 21, and many believed on his name, beholding his signs that he was. Although that were men first, he belonged to the people of God on this earth, that were Jews. And then second, they believed on the name of the Lord Jesus. And in first chapter, in verse 12, we have, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be children of God, to those that believe on his name. Also, these people in chapter 2, verse 21, showed as if they were in that position who God gave the right to be children of God. But then we find that Jesus himself did not trust himself to them, because he knew all men, and that he had not need that any should testify of men, for himself knew what was in men. Although that these people, they believed on his name, they confessed to be the people of God and to serve God, the Lord did not trust himself to them. And then we find in chapter 3 a man who was in a much more favored position. There was a man, and the context shows, but there was a man, it was one of these men, from among the Pharisees, his name Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now Nicodemus was one out of the people of God, but he had a special place. He was a man from among the Pharisees, and the Pharisees was the group of the Jews who were most zealous for the law, and who follow the law and were the teachers of the people. We find in the last of chapter 7, there we find this crowd which does not know the law are accursed. Although they themselves thought that they themselves were the best part of the people, and outwardly they were. The judgment on the fellow members of the people of Israel, the people of God, was these people that are this crowd that the Lord does not know are accursed. And now one of these people, and his name was Nicodemus, and ruler of the Jews, came to the Lord. Nicodemus tells us the same languages. The word Nicodemus means conqueror of the people. And then the word people here used is the word we find in the Word of God, always for the people of God. And here was a man, we should say, an overcomer, as we find in Revelation 2 and 3. One out of the midst of the people of God. But he was an overcomer. He had a special place in the midst of the people of God. And he was a teacher of Israel. He teaches the people what the Word of God tells them, how they had to live and what he had to believe. And that man comes to the Lord, and we saw he believed on his name, and he says to the Lord, Rabbi, we know that thou art come a teacher from God. What a wonderful testimony. Can there be a man on this earth that is nearer to God than Nicodemus here, that confessed from the Lord, thou art a teacher come from God? That is, he gives him the glory, the honor that he is more than a prophet. A prophet is one who is sent of God. But here he says that thou art come a teacher from God. It is, he gives him honor on the Lord as, we should say, more than a man can have, than a man can receive. And then we see what really the condition of man is. For man in his most favorite position, man, we should say, who is the nearest to the kingdom of God, the Lord says to him in verse 7, do not wonder that I say to thee, it is needful that ye should be born in you. That's a terrible thing. The Lord does not speak on sins. He does not speak on the deeds that man did. He speaks on his condition. He says to that man, you have need that you should be born in you. And more, he says in verse 3, except anyone be born in you, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 5, except anyone be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That shows us what really the condition is of man. A man, the most favored man, the man who believes what God says, the man who gives the Lord the highest glory a man can give to another man, to him the Lord says he cannot see the kingdom of God. Not only that he cannot go in heaven, but he cannot enter in the place of blessing here on this earth. Then the Lord speaks here of the kingdom of God. And not only that he cannot enter in the kingdom of God, but he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see what blessing is, what really a blessing of God is. What a terrible condition. Yes, the kingdom of God was there. Then the king was there. And that Nicodemus said to him, thou art a teacher from God. That proves that he did not see the kingdom, that he knew not really knew what the Lord was. That he was the king who was there. The kingdom of God was come and was there, and he did not see it. And then the Lord says, what is needful to have a part in the kingdom of God, to go in, and it is the same as to see the kingdom, except a man be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God, and then, except anyone be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That is also the condition of every man on this earth. And we see here that to go in the blessing, to go in the blessings on this earth, that the Jews after that who will go in the blessing of the millennium have to be born anew, or they cannot go in the kingdom. But then we find what we find in verses in verse 11, that the Lord speaks, we speak that which we know, and we bear witness of that which we have seen. And then, if I have said the earthly things to you, and ye believe not, how if I say the heavenly things to you? That the Lord speaks on two groups of blessings, earthly things and heavenly things. And that what he spoke of to be born again, born anew, are the earthly things. And that there are other things that are heavenly. And that he came and could speak on earthly things and could speak on heavenly things, then we speak that which we know and we bear witness of that which we have seen. Now the third earthly things, Nicodemus could prove that in the hand of the Word of God. The Old Testament speaks very clearly on new birth and on cleansing through water. He could find that in Ezekiel and Isaiah too. And also if the Lord told Seer the earthly things and said to him that a man has to be born anew to receive any blessing, yet who can go in the blessing, Nicodemus could prove that out of the word of God. Then the prophets in the Old Testament had told that too. And the Lord could speak that, and the Lord says that, I can speak what I know, what we know, and I can bear witness of that which we have seen. And then he speaks on the heavenly things to you. Oh, there is, we find in 1 Corinthians 2, that there are heavenly things. That there are things which eye has not seen, and ear not heard, and which have not come into men's hearts, which God has prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Although there are things who are in heaven, that are things that an eye has not seen, an ear not heard, and which have not come into man's hearts, which God has prepared for them that love him. How can we know that? How can we know these things? It is a citation out of Isaiah. And the prophet Isaiah says also, God has something prepared for the one who loves him, but we don't know that what it is, and we cannot know it. How can we know what is in the heart of God and what God prepared for men, as eye has not seen it, and the ear not heard, and it has not come up into man's heart? That we find here done in John 3. I know we speak that which we know, and we bear witness of that which we have seen. And then, if I say the heavenly things to you, there we find the wonderful truth of the Gospel of John. Yeah, we can say the whole scripture, but special of the Gospel of John. There came one from heaven to tell people on this earth, to tell mankind what was in heaven, and to declare to him what heaven was and what was in heaven. There came one on this earth, we find it later, not only to give eternal life to man, not only to die for sinners on the cross of Calvary, that there should be no judgment for them, but to reveal for them what was in the heart of God, and to reveal them what was in the heart of God to give to them, and to reveal them that they could see it with their own eyes, what heaven was, and they could enjoy and know now already what should be the portion if they accepted him. There he came out of heaven. We have seen it. The Son of Man, no one has come up into heaven save he who came down out of heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. There was one who has come up into heaven, but he came first down out of heaven. We know that the Lord went down to heaven not in that moment, but after he was raised from the dead. But we see here him as the eternal Son of God. And then it is not a matter of time, but it is a matter of character, a matter of what he is. And he is the one, as we find in Genesis, and also in the first chapter, there was a really relation between heaven and him. There we find that the angels went up from him and came down to him as he was on earth in the last verse from chapter 1. Ye shall see the heaven opened, and the angel of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And we see that the angels of God are not descending on the Son of Man, but are ascending from him and then descending on him. He is the point where the angels went from and they come back to him. And that is what we find here. There is one who knows what he says, and who can bear witness of what he has seen. Known in the really meaning of the word, there's only God. What we know, we have learned from others. As a man is born, he knows nothing. And as we say, now we know that, how do we know it? We have learned it from others. We have seen that others have written down, or they spoke to us, or our eyes have seen it. Or perhaps our intellect have thought and came to conclusions. That is our knowledge. Although our knowledge is not principle, all what we know we have from others. And if it is the result of our intellect, then it is to hope that we make not a fault, a mistake. Then we could be not sure what we say. And we know many times it is. There is but one who knows, from whom Isaiah 46 says that he knows from the beginning the end. He knows all things. He only has knowledge. And he who only has knowledge, in the real meaning of the word, he came down on this earth to tell to men what was the truth. He could tell them the earthly things. He could tell them what was the real condition, that they were not fit to see the blessing of God, and that it was impossible to receive really blessing of God without to be born anew. He could tell them that, then he knew. But he also could tell the things that were in heaven, and that God prepared for everyone that we find that should believe in him, the Son. There we have our testimony. If we now will know what is truth, there is a person who can tell us that. He himself is the truth. And he came down on this earth to tell us what is true. And here he stands. He was here in Jerusalem. And he could tell to that man, to Nicodemus, what was the truth of God. What a wonderful thing. And there we have what the gospel really is. Oh, many times in the preaching gospel, we think that the gospel is that man is lost, but that God sends the means through which he can be saved from hell, so that there will be no judgment of him. But here we see that that was not the really what was in the heart of God. We find in verse 16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. And we read that many times, that we say, so God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son on the cross, that whosoever believes in him may not perish, but have no condemnation or no judgment. But we do not find that here. We do not find the cross much in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John does not speak on sins that we did and judgment. The gospel of sin does speak on our position, the position of man, and does then speak on God's revealed eternal life, and that it was in the heart of God to give eternal life to men who were in that condition, and that he would give that out of the fullness of his grace. We see that in the first verses. The Lord says, except anyone is born again, born anew, he cannot see the things of God. Can any man anything to do in relation with his born anew? Can a child at last do that he will be born? Impossible. There we see that it is not here the question of what man can, but it is here the question of what God does. Man is in a position that he can do nothing, but God will do it. And it was in the heart of God to bless men. And what can the highest blessing be for a man? Oh, we know what God gives is always good. And we speak many times on the blessing of God. And it is true if we know that our sins are forgiven, what a wonderful blessing. If we know that there is no judgment, what a wonderful blessing. If we know that he will not come in hell, what a blessing. If we are healthy, if we have our food and other things, how many blessings we have. If we could come in heaven, what a wonderful blessing. But of all the things God gives are so wonderful, how wonderful must himself sign, he himself be, he who gives all these blessings. If we see on the universe, the heavens, we see nature, and we see all how beautiful it all is, how wonderful must he be that created all these things and that makes them all as they are now. And that is the wonderful thing we find here. Oh, we saw yesterday in Colossians that in the beginning the Lord created all things. Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. Now God is God, and he could do it. Hebrew 11 tells us he spoke a word and the universe was there. He created all. But can the creature understand what the creator is? And can he understand the creator himself? Oh, that is impossible. We find in the first epistle to Timothy in chapter 6, we find that God dwells in an unapproachable light, dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen nor is able to see, to whom be honor and eternal might. And we feel that is true. How could a creature see God? How could a creature come in the presence of the Creator, the eternal God? To know God, to know really what God is, creature has to be God himself. Only God can know God. And so we find what is the position of the creature. He can see the majesty of God in his creation, and he can enjoy it. He can receive some blessings of God, and he can take a conclusion, the giver of that blessing must be a wonderful person. But it is impossible that he can understand God, and no creature can do that. God dwells in an unapproachable light, and no man has seen him and can see him. And then we find the wonderful thing. Oh, there was man, and God created him as man, and the earth was his place where he should be living. The earth was the place for whom he was created. And then that man became an enemy of God. That man came so that his condition was that he not only could have fellowship with God, but he could not see the blessings of God. He was not capable to see the blessing of God. And then we find that God, in his infinite grace, will that man not only will be saved from the curse, from the results, the consequences of his deeds and his sinful position, but that God will reveal himself to him, and that man will be brought up to a position that he can see God, that he will be higher than the angels, and that he will enjoy that what was the enjoyment of God himself. Oh, we know from the Lord Jesus, the Son, he was the enjoyment of the Father in eternity. And the enjoyment of the Son was the Father. The Father and the Son, the God himself, was satisfied with what they were. Their hearts were satisfied with the glory and the perfectness of the Triune God. And now God, in his grace, he purposed that sinful man should come in that position, that they should enjoy what he himself enjoyed in eternity. Oh, the Father saw the glory of the Lord, all the glory of his person, the glory of his heart, the perfectness, the whole perfectness of the eternal Son of God. And the Father said, what I enjoy, wherewith my heart is filled, what is the delight of my heart, I will give them to these creatures, and they shall enjoy the same thing. In picture we see that in the Old Testament, that we find in Leviticus 3, in the peace offering, in verse 11 and verse 17, verse 16, that a part of the peace offering is that called the food or the bread of God. And in chapter 7 we find then that every one of the people of God can eat from the same sacrifice as God receives his food. And in chapter 7 we find that Aaron, a type of the Lord Jesus himself, eat also from the same sacrifice. A meal where God has his part and receives his food, and where Christ has his part, his food, and every one of the people of God who is clean can eat of that. And that we have in principle here. And then we see how wonderful it is that the Son of God came on this earth. No, it was not only to go to the cross to die for me. How wonderful that is. And it is true, everyone who has who has tasted in his own heart that wonderful verse from Galatians 2, the Son of God who left me and gave himself for me. He knows how wonderful the thought is that he left me and gave himself for me on the cross of Calvary. But that is not the only thing. Here we have what is much higher. He came on this earth, not only that we should be saved from hell, but he came on this earth that we should enjoy what he enjoyed in eternity, what the Father was. And he came on this earth and the Father sent him that we should enjoy in eternity what in eternity was the fruit of the Father, the glory of the Son. Is that not a wonderful thing? And who came on earth to tell us what was in heaven? We should go to heaven. That was the purpose of God. And who came on this earth to tell us what it was in heaven? He who was the center of the heavenly glory. He himself is the heavenly glory. In Revelation 5, 4 and 5, we see how he the center is. In Revelation 4, we see him as the creator. And all is centered on him. Revelation 5, we see him as the Lamb, and all is centered on him. The whole heaven is filled with him. His glory is it that fills the heaven. All that is in heaven is centered on him. He is it really that fills the heaven. And he himself, he came down on this earth. And he could tell a man what was in heaven, what should be the part. Oh, it is true. Natural man, so as he is, he cannot understand these things. So the Lord has first to speak of, except anyone be born of water and of spirit. And a father, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Also a man has first to receive a new life, a new understanding, a life that is capable to understand the things of God. A natural man cannot understand the things of God. We know that from 1 Corinthians 2. There we have that a natural man cannot understand the things of God. But in relating with us, we find and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we should know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. And so after he spoke to Nicodemus on that new life that everyone has that is born anew, that new life that has the character of the one who worked that new life, the Holy Spirit, the Lord speaks to them on the heavenly things and tells them that he can believe his words. Then he speaks what he knows and he testifies of what he has seen. That are the wonderful things. Oh, we see here that it is that the Lord speaks to Nicodemus on what is born of the Spirit is Spirit. But here in the verses 14 and 16, the Lord goes farther and speaks on life eternal. And life eternal is not the same as we find as life. It is true, also the new life we find in verse 5 is a divine life. And we see from these verses that all the saints of the Old Testament were born anew, and they all had a divine life. Without divine life, it is impossible to receive for man any blessings of God. And all who will be born anew after the rapture, they will have a divine life. But the Lord speaks here on eternal life. And that is more than divine life. Oh yes, it is a divine life. In principle, it is the same life. But the Lord speaks in other places on life and life in abundancy. And here we find the divine life in the richest form, in the highest form. Yeah, and what more is, it brings us in relation with himself, in a personal relation with himself as the eternal Son of God. He read it in 1 John 5, he is the true God and eternal life. Also he himself is the eternal life. And now he speaks here and says that everyone who believes in him shall receive eternal life. That means that everyone in our time, after the Lord came on this earth, and to the rapture, everyone who believes in him receives the Lord himself as his life. And that life is also he himself. That means also that we are in a special connection with himself. And we find in John 17 what that means. Then there the Lord speaks to the Father and says what eternal life is. He says there, and this is the eternal life, that I should know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. In verse 11, the Lord speaks in plural. He says, I say unto thee, we speak that which we know, and we bear witness of that which we have seen. Now, I think we find the key to that in 1 Corinthians 2. As the Lord says, we, and as we had it, only God knows, really knows in the real meaning of the word. So we can say, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit knows. God the Father came not on this earth to reveal himself. God the Son came to this earth to tell what he knew. And God the Holy Spirit came later on this earth, and we find in 1 Corinthians 2, he came on this earth, and he dwells now on this earth in us. When he gave us the word of God, he who knew all things, the depths of the thoughts of God, he revealed that to the apostle and let him write down that in the word of God, so that we here have two divine persons who told us what were the thoughts of God. First, the Lord Jesus. He, the Son, who came out of heaven, could speak on this earth eternal things. And in chapter 16 he tells us he could not tell everything, then he were not fit in that moment to understand all things. And so he would send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would tell them the other things. And there we have what is the meaning. And now we can see what is the part of that. We receive the eternal life. The eternal life is the life of Christ himself. But then we can understand that we can understand Christ. And then we can understand that we can understand the Father, that we can understand God. Then we have a divine nature received. And we received it in the most richest form. And we received it as the life of Christ himself. Now in 1 Corinthians 2 we find that the Holy Spirit knows all things and seeks in the depths of God and so knows all things and can reveal it to us. And if we have the life of Christ, and Scripture tells us that, in Colossians 3 we find Christ is our life, then we can understand what the Holy Spirit reveals of the depths of God. And so we find here Christ. What a wonderful thing. There comes God from heaven, the Lord, the eternal Son of God. And God sent his Son to heaven. Why? And there's a character here. To reveal himself to man. To reveal him that we should know him. And that we in eternity should enjoy what is his enjoyment. Is that not wonderful? In the first epistle of John, verse 18, we find that no man in any time had seen God. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, has declared him. What a wonderful verse. It is not the only begotten Son has declared him, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father has declared him. Oh, God has revealed himself also in creation. In the creation we see the majesty and almighty power of God. The heavens declare his glory, his honor, we find in Psalm 19. But the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, has declared him. That means the Son had not declared the Father from the outside. The Son, as he told us what the Father was, And what the Father is, he started not on the outside, the creation, but the Son who was in the bosom of the Father, declared the Father. He started with the heart of God, with his bosom, with the place of feelings, the place where the love dwelt. That was the starting point. Creation started from the outside and could not go farther. But the Lord started with the heart of the Father, with his feelings, that God is love. And from that point out, the Lord declared to the Father, oh, it is true, God dwells in an unapproachable light. No man had seen him, and no man could see him. And so God revealed himself in flesh. God, the Word, we know, the Greek word logos, means the expression of what one is. Not only what a person said, but with the expression what he really inward is, what his thoughts are. Now the Word of God, that what revealed God, became flesh, that we could understand it. And now the glory of God was on this earth. In chapter 1 we heard it, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have contemplated his glory, and glory as of an only begotten written Father, full of grace and truth. Why could John see him so? Why could he contemplate his glory, and glory as of an only begotten written Father? He could it do because the Word became flesh and could dwell so in the midst of men. No man had seen God before that time. No angel had seen God. The first time that angel saw the Creator was that baby there was in the manger. Then they saw the Creator, and that was the first time. Before that time, angels could not see. Then angels are also creatures. And no creature can God see in what he is. And there we find the wonderful grace. God became flesh. No, not only to die for us. That was the proof that was needful that he did it. But he became man that we should know him. That we should contemplate his glory. That we should know God and see what God was. He came to give us an understanding that we should know him. And as we find in chapter 17, him, the true God, and his Son, Jesus Christ, who he has sent. That was in the heart of God. That is what we find in chapter 3, verse 16. God gave his Son. It was not only that we should be, that we should not condemn, but it was really that we, in everyone who believes on him, in the Son, have life eternal. What a wonderful thing. Oh, there comes is the Lord. And he speaks there in the night. It is a man as Nicodemus. Nicodemus thinks he's a man, and really he wasn't a true man. But the one who was there could speak what he saw in heaven. The man who was there could speak what he had seen and gave testimony of that. And that not only, the one who spoke with Nicodemus was in the same time in heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven, and could tell to Nicodemus what he in the same moment saw in heaven and in the same moment heard in heaven. That was he who was there. How great was the love of the Son of God for us, if we see that. And how great is the love of the Father for us, as we see that. How great is the love of God here for his creation, for the sea cosmos also, also the whole creation, the whole universe. How great that he will give that. We find that in the Old Testament in many pictures. We find in Genesis in the first chapters that man in the Garden of Eden, what his food was. It was all that grows on this earth. But then after man was a sinner, and after the judgment of God came in the sin flood, then God gives him the animals to eat as his food, flesh of his food. That is, that what to that time was only the food of God, the Lord Jesus, he gave that a sinful man first, that he should learn that a sinful man only can live through the death of another, and the death of Christ, but second, that he should live and that he should eat the same food that God had in eternity. Now that is in the picture what we have here. And there we see the Lord. We speak what we know, and we bear witness of that which we have seen. And I have said to Nicodemus the earthly things, and now he speaks of the heavenly things. We can trust his words. He speaks his words, and we can hear them, and we can trust him. Then he is the only one who knows and makes no mistakes. And second, he testifies of what he saw in the same moment, and he could tell what he heard in the same moment, and he came to do that. And then we find that wonderful thing. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, thus must the Son of Man be lifted up. It was true. No creature could God see. And God revealed in flesh, no man could see him. We find John testified from him. We saw his glory as the glory of an only begotten Son of the Father. But the brothers of the Lord did not believe in him. In chapter 7 we find they did not believe in him. They saw him from the first day of their life, when they were sons of Moses, Joseph, and Maria. And they did not see his glory. They did not believe in him. In Mark we find they thought he was crazy. So terrible was it. How was it that they could not see him? There we see what is the condition of man. And the Lord came on this earth. He became flesh to reveal God. But man was not fit to understand that. Man was not fit to see God in his glory. We see him in Nicodemus. Nicodemus was not fit. He could not see the glory of the Lord. He thought he was a prophet. He was come of God. But he could not see what he really was. And so first, man has to receive a new nature, a divine nature. He has to receive eternal life. But how could God, the man, come in the presence of God? And how could man really be in rest heaven as long as he was a sinner? Oh, if an unbeliever should come in heaven, what should heaven be for him? Scripture tells us what the condition is of an unbeliever. The condition of an unbeliever is, in Ephesians 5, he is darkness, and heaven is light. God is light, and him is no darkness at all. What must an unbeliever feel if he should come in heaven? We find that the thoughts of the heart of an unbeliever are only wrong, only enmity against God, only sinful. He desires the things who are against God. What had an unbeliever to do in heaven, where no sin is, where all is glory to God, where all speaks of the glory of God? There is no darkness at all. If it was possible that an unbeliever should come in heaven, the heaven should be in hell for him. And if it was possible that he came there and he could leave it, he should leave heaven as soon as was possible. Then heaven should be the terrible place for a man who is not born anew. And if God purposed, as it was in his heart, man to take in his presence, that he should be there in that glory what is connected with his presence, should be in the place of the Son, in his house, in the house of the Father also, and there enjoy all what was his enjoyment, and what was the enjoyment of the Son, then first he had to give man a new nature, a nature that was fit to be there in that presence. But second, he had to take away all what was a hindrance for that. And so we find the Lord became not only man, he became the Son of Man. And as the Son of Man, he must be lifted up, because the Son of Man had to pay all the debts of the man, because he is the Son of Man. And Son is the heir of all the promises of the Father, all the riches of the Father, but also the debts. And so the Lord became man. Oh, it was his free will. There was no must that he must be the Son of Man. No, it was his love, his free will, to become the Son of Man. But as he became the Son of Man,
He must lift it up.
Why? It was impossible that other one man could have life eternal. That everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have life eternal. He has to give himself up, and he has to die on the cross of Calvary to take away all that should be an hindrance for perfect enjoyment in heaven, that should be an hindrance to be there, that should be an hindrance that we should be fit to have part in the portion of the saints in the light, as we yesterday saw in 1 Colossians, verse 12. And so he did. What a wonderful grace. There we see our Lord, the Son of God. There we see him, he, the eternal Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth. And he came down on this earth to give us all the blessings that he had in eternity. Not only the outward blessings, the outward glory, that true, that also we see that in John 17, and we saw that yesterday. I have given them the glory that thou hast given me. And what glory was it? Father, glorify me with the glory which you had with thee before the world was. Also the glory he had from eternity as eternal Son of God, he now received after the cross, as reward on the work he did on the cross. And this glory he gave them and all them, but that not only his place, he took us to bring us in one place with him, to unite it in the place where he was in heaven, in the center of the heaven, but he would give us the same enjoyment he had in that place. If I can speak with the words of the Old Testament, the same food that was his food in eternity. But he would give us the same enjoyment he had in that place. If I can speak with the words of the Old Testament, the same food that was his food in eternity, the same that filled his heart, what was made his joy perfect as only as the joy of God always is perfect. That is his delight in the Father, his knowledge of the Father, and in his enjoyment of all that was in the Father, in the heart of the Father. And so he came down to reveal the Father, to declare the Father out of his bosom, out of his heart, that we should understand them. And then he took our place, and he went to the cross. He had to be lifted up, that there should be no judgment for us, that we should be fit to be there, that there should be no one hindrance to enjoy all these divine things in heaven. And that we know to think that it was only the Son in whose heart it was. And you find that many times with believers who did not receive the full gospel, or they see the Lord as the Savior, and they see as the Israelites in Exodus 12, that the Israelites saw the new, the lamb is slaughtered, and the blood of the lamb hides us for the judgment of God, and they saw the lamb as the Savior, but as they thought on God, they saw him as a terrible judge who would slay every firstborn who was not behind the blood. That we should not think, oh yes, the Son of God died for us, and he left us, but God himself is a judge. He cannot judge us because the Lord died for us. There we have for the second time, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. Not only the Son, we can say the tree of God left his creation, and it was in the heart of the tree of God to reveal himself and to give eternal life on everyone who should believe in the Son who came down on this earth to reveal God, who came to man on this earth to speak from God, to tell him what God was, to tell him what heaven was, to tell him what man was, to tell what was needful for man to come in the blessing, to reveal all things. He is the truth, and that everyone who should believe in him, that is true, everyone who should believe that he was the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. And what he told, that what he told was true, that he should receive eternal life, not may perish, but have life eternal. Yes, we are on this earth. We are not in heaven, that in Christ we are. But our practical position is, we are on this earth. We are on the journey to here on earth we roam, but free to look up to heaven, since our blessed Lord arose. Where thou, O Lord, art not in thee, and with thee ever is found by grace our Lord. We know what our place is. Our place is not on this earth. Oh, it will be a wonderful time in the millennium, as the Lord reigns over this earth, and the people on this earth will receive all the blessings of the kingdom. It will be a wonderful time, and we will see it. We will be the tools through which the Lord brings his blessing here. But our place is there. Our place is not on the new earth, where it will be wonderful to dwell. All who are born in you will dwell in the new earth. Revelation 21. But our place will be in the house of the Father. We will be where he is. We will be on his breast. We will be there where the Son is the center of all the glory of heaven, of all the glory of the dwelling place of God himself, in the house of the Father, where all speaks of the love of God as Father, where all is also according to the relationship between the Father and the Son, there will we be. And there will we enjoy all what there is. And there we will be. We will know God. We will see how God is. Then God is declared, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, has declared him from out his heart. And he has given us an understanding that we know God, that we know him. He is the true God and eternal life. And we, it is true, we are not there, but we know it. Then there came one out of this heaven to declare us to us. One who left our soul, that he would leave heaven. No, let me not say that. That he came down on this earth, became man, became in that wonderful position of man, only to declare the Father and to tell us what will be in eternity our part.